Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to She Talks, We Talk Radio, the weekly wake-up call for women worldwide. Race talks, candid conversation, gutsy guests, and taboo topics that are real, edgy, provocative, and oh so necessary. Because women won't save the world until they heal and save themselves. Catrice M. Jackson is on a mission to transform the world by having courageous conversations that matter in order to make a difference in the lives of women around the globe. Thanks for tuning in to She Talks, We Talk, eliminating clicks, catfights, and colorblindness among women, one talk at a time. Gender, race, feminism, social and racial justice, truth talk to help women walk their talk. To transform the world. Get ready for your weekly wake-up call. And now, your host, Catrice M. Jackson, global visionary leader of the Awaken Conscious Shift, an international speaker and best-selling author.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to She Talks, We Talk Radio, the weekly wake-up call for women worldwide, eliminating clicks, catfights, color blindness among women, one talk at a time. This platform is dedicated to race talks, candid conversations, gutsy guests, and taboo topics that are real, edgy, provocative, and oh so necessary. Because I believe that women will not save the world until they heal and save themselves. So I'm on a mission to transform the world by having courageous conversations that matter in order to make a difference in the lives of women around the globe. Gender, race, feminism, social and racial justice, uncut and unapologetic. We speak truth for transformation. So thanks for tuning in for your weekly wake-up call. She Talks, We Talk. So I want to start the show off today with a quote. And the quote says, "If you have come here to help me, you are wasting your time. But if you have come because your liberation is bound up with mine, then let us work together." And that quote was stated by Leela Watson, an Indigenous Australian woman from the Murray clan. And she shared that quote as she talked about the roles of white allies in the liberation of oppressed people. So what does Leela mean? What does Leela mean as she says, "If you have come here to help me, you are wasting your time. But if you have come because your liberation is bound up with mine, then let us work together." There's a big and detrimental difference between being an ally and being a white savior. So I talk a lot about this in my new book, Antagonists, Advocates, and Allies, which is a guide really to help white women become allies with women of color, and in particular, white women. And having allies in the fight against racial injustice is highly important. It's critical. It's necessary. Because the truth is, people of color have been fighting the fight for centuries, for decades, for years, and they're still fighting the fight. And if we truly had the power to quickly transform the racial injustice in the world, it would have been done already. It would have happened already. We wouldn't even be going through what we're going through right now. So it's necessary for white people to stand up, to speak out, to use their voice, their power, and their privilege to help dismantle the dis-ease within our country, within our world, called racism. And so today I'm going to be talking about what it means to be an ally. How can you become a better ally? And what do you need to do? So there's a lot of things that I could say. There's a lot of things that I talk about in my book, Antagonists, Advocates, and Allies. But I found something interesting. I found a blog, and I really enjoyed that post. So I want to share with you what I found as I was reading this blog post in preparation for the show. So the title of the blog post is "The Number One Thing White People Can Do to End Racism." It was written on June 29th, 2015, by a guy named David R. Henson. And you can find that on the website, www.patheos.com/blogs. And that's P as in Paul, patheos.com/blogs. Okay, so I'm going to read to you what David had to say, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about this as we move forward in the show. So thank you so much for being on the show today. Stay tuned in because I want you to learn something. I want you to have some tools to take with you on your anti-racism journey. So here's what David says. A lot of white people recently have asked me how they can put an end to racism in the United States. They see the problem. They want to help. They want to fix what is broken. And after some reflection, I think I have an answer. The one thing white people can do to end racism in this country, are you ready for it? Okay, here it is. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's it. You can't do anything that will solve racism completely in the United States. That's because, contrary to what white culture tells us as white people, we aren't the world's saviors. We don't have all the right answers. I'm not even sure we're asking the right questions as white people, to be honest. The world isn't waiting on white people to fix the problems of the world, to come up with a quick and easy solution for a deeply systemic problem. It's tempting, of course, and probably well-intentioned to go to our black friends or our black churches and ask, how can we help? Or even to suggest, have you thought about doing this or doing that? Our first impulse is to seek integration of some kind with the black institutions that we have up until the point of the latest tragedy ignored. As white people, our desire is to make a difference in the lives of the hurting, the wounded, the oppressed. Because one of the insidious pieces of white supremacy is that white people read the Bible as saviors, casting themselves in the role of Jesus or Moses instead of Pilate or Pharaoh. And that's why I think it's important when white people just start to wake up to our 400-year history of white supremacy. We first have to realize that there is nothing we are going to do that's going to magically end racism. It's important not to envision ourselves in the roles of saviors as the great white hopes who can finally end the scourge of racism in this country. Our frame of reference for racism as white people tends to be so marginal and so limited that our offer to help often sounds more like a demand that space be made for us in a movement and a moment that is not about us. It is a demand to be welcomed when it was in fact generous to welcome a white man that led to the terrible tragedy at Mother Emanuel AME in Charleston. And it's not just Charleston. It's startling to think how often the generous welcome of a white man throughout history has led to tragedy for people of color. So if you're a white person who is demanding answers for how to help or who is demanding access to black institutions and movements as an ally, your privilege is showing. You aren't helping, even if you are making yourself feel better. I think rather than talking about what white people should be doing, it might be more helpful to talk about what we shouldn't be doing. White people aren't called to be saviors in this situation because people of color aren't helpless souls in need of rescue. White people aren't called to use our privilege to benefit people of color like wealthy uncles who come to town once a year. White people don't have the answers. It's far more accurate to say that white people and white culture in general are the causes of race problems in the United States, not the answer to them. That is where we have to start every single time. So while white people aren't going to end racism, I do believe we are called to confront it in ourselves, in our institutions, in our culture, in our country. And to be honest, there is really only one way to do that in a lasting, systematic way, to begin that process of confronting and dismantling racism in our lives and in our world. And that is to get educated, to get trained. And it's not pretty, and it's not glamorous. It's difficult, and it's unsettling. It's not something you can do by reading a few essays online or a handful of books, by following a few extra people on Twitter. It's more than just a passive posture of listening. It even goes beyond showing up at a march with a sign. It's more than speaking up about the horrifying atrocities happening to people of color, the killing, the incarcerating, the burning of their churches. These are important, but they are only the first steps. The next step should be the active and informed confrontation of systemic racism throughout anti-racism training. And then building teams and strategies for dismantling racism in our lives, in our institutions, and in our communities. Until white people can get behind anti-racism training, then I'm not sure how worthwhile our efforts are to change. And if your church or institution will not invest the time, the energy, and the money into anti-racism work, then it's supporting the status quo by default. And the status quo is white supremacy. Get educated. Get trained. Because it is not enough anymore to simply not be racist. It is time we become anti-racist. Those are the words of the author of that blog. Those are the words of David R. Henson, the number one thing white people can do to end racism. And I have to applaud him on that blog because I agree with a lot of what he's saying. It is not enough to say, I am not racist. It is not enough to say, I'm joining a rally. It is not enough to say to follow people who are leaders. It is going to take deep internal, personal, gut-wrenching work for each and every person who chooses to stand up and be an ally in the face of racial injustice. How far are you willing to go? What are you willing to do? Are you willing to go out on that edge? Are you willing to get the education, to get the training, to do whatever is necessary to stand with people of color, not in front of them, not behind them, but hand in hand alongside with them? Well, you know, this show speaks truth, and we do it uncut, and we do it unapologetic. And so one of the things that I feel really needs to be spoken today, as David said, is racism is not a people of color problem. It's a white people's problem. And you are the best solution to ending what you created. People of color have been fighting for centuries to end this world evil, and to no avail, it still persists and plagues the lives of people all over the globe. And so here's another hard truth, my friends. You and your ancestors may not have owned slaves or participated in the travesty of the American slave system, yet you and all of your ancestors have benefited from it. And with an awakened conscious shift of your thoughts and your behaviors, you too can help shut the door on Pandora's box once and for all. So how far are you willing to go? What are you willing to do? Because if you think holding a sign, posting a post, tweeting a tweet, attending a rally is enough, then you are mistaken, my friend. You have to do this every day, all day, with every breath you take. That is what is going to help eliminate racism. And so while we take this short break, I would love for you to think about what am I willing to do to truly be an ally in the lives of people of color. Are you ready to walk your Talk.
Listen up, ladies, leaders, mentors, coaches, and bosses. So, you say you support and empower all women? Do you really? Are you intentionally and unintentionally offending and excluding the very women you say you serve and support or want to serve? Do you realize that you may be tarnishing your brand because you're not walking your talk? Clicks, catfights, and color blindness is super bad for your business and your brand. But there's something you can do about it. It's time for you to experience an awakened conscious shift and learn how to consciously increase your reach, impact, and influence. The Awakened Conscious Shift provides female leaders and women entrepreneurs with evolutionary awakened consciousness way of living, working, collaborating, and creating exclusive female communities where all women belong and thrive. The Awakened Conscious Shift offers She Talks, We Talk Circles, We Talk Wake Up Call, the We Well for Women of Color, Professional Leadership, Development and Coaching, Socially Conscious Branding and Marketing Solutions, and Social Consciousness, Organizational Training and Consulting. Just because you didn't mean to offend or exclude is no excuse. Get the coaching, mentoring, and training you need to strengthen your business reputation and protect your brand. Get more information. Contact Catrice today at www.awakenconsciousshift.com. And now, back to She Talks, We Talk, the weekly wake-up call for women worldwide.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to She Talks, We Talk Radio, the Wake Up Weekly Call, or I should say, the weekly wake-up call for women worldwide, eliminating clicks, catfights, and color blindness among women, one talk at a time. Thank you so much for tuning in to the show today. If you have a question, please join us by calling in live at 917-889-3234, and you can join us in the chat room, post your question there, and I'll do my best to get to your question and provide the best answer possible. So before we went to the break, I shared something that I think is truly, truly powerful, a blog post that I found as I was researching some information for today's show. And the title of that blog post was The Number One Thing White People Can Do to End Racism. It was posted on June 29th, 2015 by David R. Henson. And I found this on a website, www.pathios.com. So you can definitely go to the website and check that out, and you can see what David has shared. And one of the things that I feel like he has shared that is really powerful is, you know, sometimes what happens and what I see, especially on social media, is that there are courageous white women in particular standing up and attempting to do the work of becoming a white ally. And, you know, I watch the posts and I kind of follow along and I see what they're saying and, you know, I kind of peek into some conversations. And, you know, I just have to say, let me just say this to you. If you're out there and you're working to become a white ally, you know, I applaud you for that. I appreciate your efforts. But it is a fine line. It is a fine line to, you know, be a true ally. And that fine line can be crossed when that allyship turns into what I call an ally with an ego. Their focus and their intent and their energy moves away from the real work of eliminating racism and fighting racial injustice to look at me, look at me, look what I'm doing, look at what I've posted, look at the conversations I'm having, look how I'm standing up. And there's one person in particular that I follow on social media who constantly is posting pictures of herself with people of color. Look, I'm with an Asian person. Look, I'm with an African-American person. Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm doing. And, you know, that becomes dangerous. You know, I have to admit, when I see that, there's something in my spirit that cringes a little bit. Because my question is, what is this really about? What are you really doing? Is this about you showcasing yourself? Is this about you saying, hey, look at all the great things I'm doing. I'm helping, I'm saving, I'm rescuing black and brown people. You got to be cautious. You got to be careful when you do that. Because it can be a turnoff. And I have to admit, there's a little bit of turnoffness, niche-ish for me when I see this post person and they show up. Because I'm wondering if they're walking in integrity. I'm wondering if, you know, this is about the cause and about the fight and about the struggle and about the injustice. Or is this, look at me, this is a way to tout my own self. And so I'm going to caution anyone who's standing up at this time to be an ally, to be careful. It is a fine line. And I'm going to be sharing more about that as we go forward. But if you need some guidance, if you need some help, if you don't know where to begin, I'm encouraging you to go to the website today, www.shetalkswetalk.com, and pick up your copy of Antagonists, Advocates, and Allies. It's going to help you tremendously. You're going to know exactly what to do and what not to do and what's offensive and what's not offensive and what people of color want and desire from a white ally. So if you don't have that book, hop on over to that website and get it right now. So as we kind of get ready to move into the second half of this show, I love what David's talking about. I love what he's talking about because the status quo is white supremacy. And if you're not fighting against that, you're supporting it. If you're not speaking out, you're supporting it. If you're not standing up, you're supporting it. If you're not doing your part, you're supporting it. And if you work for a company or an organization or an institution that is not actively fighting against the racial injustice, it's a company, it's an organization, it's an institution that is supporting white supremacy. So he talks about the number one thing that white people can do to become the allies they desire to become, and that is to get educated and trained. And it is not to look towards your black colleagues and your black friends and your black institutions for that education. And if they offer it to you, it is a gift. It is something to be honored and cherished, not something to be abused or taken lightly. So when someone of color is willing to share that with you, sit down and listen and take notes and listen again and listen again and listen to as many people of color as you can. Because one thing I know is that when you talk, when you speak, when I talk, when I speak, we are just regurgitating what we already know. When we listen, we learn something new. We're transformed. We evolve. We take in information that can help us transform from the inside out. So I would love for you to read that blog post, digest it, swallow it up, eat it up, take it in, and listen to what he says because it's truth. And there, that fine line of being an ally and being a white savior is something that you have to be extremely careful about because the very alliance that you're trying to build with people of color, the very reputation that you're trying to build with people of color can easily, quickly be damaged by letting your ego get out of control and making it all about you instead of making it all about the cause and all about them. So are you walking that fine line? Are you making it all about you? Are you showing up with your ego saying, look at me, look at me, look what I'm doing? Be careful. That can backfire. And so here's a short list of actions that you can take and things to consider if you really want to become a white ally. Becoming a white ally is an inside job. And if you do not believe that you have white privilege and benefit from white supremacy, then you are not ready to become an ally, period. This is the first and most crucial work that you must do. If you're struggling with the fact that you have white privilege and that you benefit from white supremacy, do not move forward. You have to come to terms with this. You have to do your work around this. Otherwise, it's just not going to happen. And you're going to be more of a detriment, and you're going to be more dangerous and offensive going forward if you have not digested this. So that's your first step. Second thing is your primary racial justice work must largely be done with white people. So instead of debating with people of color about racial injustice, oppression, white supremacy, racism, turn that conversation towards your own home, your community, your friends, and your family. You know, we don't need you drilling us with 1,000 questions, looking for us to educate you or putting us in a position to explain what we've tried to explain too many times to count before. Stop talking, stop defending, stop comparing, stop justifying, stop shifting the focus, stop blaming the victims. Just stop and listen, read, study, research, and put all of this on repeat for a while until you are more objectively equipped to engage in race talks and begin your racial justice journey. So here's something easy that you can do. Wake up and pay attention. Pay attention to who's missing. Notice who's missing at the table of decision makers, policy makers, in roles of leadership, and on powerful platforms, and all the other spaces and places where the real power lies. And just because you see one or more or a few people of color in those places, that doesn't mean you stop looking. Keep looking and notice who's not there. Notice when you feel afraid or threatened by black people, women, people of color. Notice when you lock your doors or clutch your purse, or notice when you use the words those people. Notice when you feel superior. Notice how you feel and what you do when you see a black person in a space where you don't feel they should be. Notice how many commercials you see that do not include people of color. Notice how the media portrays black people. Simply wake up and be conscious of what is happening in the world. And, you know, here's another tip I want to share with you. You know, I could go on and I could talk about this all day. But this is where the real work happens. Be genuine. Be ready to be uncomfortable a lot, a lot, a lot. If you are ready to be an ally, if you're ready to take that journey, you're going to be uncomfortable. Because people are going to challenge you. Friends are going to fall off. People are going to think you're stirring the pot. They're going to think you're being divisive. Lots of stuff is going to happen when you say yes to being a white ally. It's going to be uncomfortable. So you got to be ready for that. You know what? And here's another challenge, working within your own family. Have you had a conversation with your own family about race and racism? Try that. See what happens. So as we close out this show, gosh, there's so much more I want to share. And just keep tuning in because I'm going to keep sharing more. I'm going to keep sharing more. But let me close this show by saying being an ally is about listening. That is the most important thing you can do. Listen to as many people of color as possible. They have the answers that you need to be an ally. Number two, being an ally is a verb. It's not a status. It's not a noun. It's not something stagnant that you just say you are and then you just sit. And it's not based on your past behavior or what you will do in the future. It is based on the present moment. And this is most important. It is not a self-proclaimed identity. You do not get to tell yourself or give yourself the title of ally. It must be overwhelmingly given to you by people of color, repeatedly, frequently, consistently, over and over and over and over again, and every day you earn it. Last but not least, allies don't take breaks. People fighting racism do not get a break. And if you are a true ally, you do not retreat. You do not take a break. You stand and you fight. Even when you're tired, you stand and you fight until you take your last breath. Thank you so much for tuning into the show today. Join me next time for She Talks, We Talk Radio, the weekly wake-up call for women worldwide. And until next week, put your big girl panties on and start a conversation that matters.
Boom! There you have it. Another courageous conversation that matters to eliminate colorblindness, cultivate racial harmony, and unify women. Love it or hate it, it doesn't matter. We're going to keep talking until women start walking. Catrice is taking She Talks, We Talk message movement and mission on the road. Want to host a live She Talks, We Talk circle in your city? Contact Catrice and make it happen. Want to be a guest on the show? Got a topic you want to discuss? Submit your request to www.shetalkswetalk.com. Are you ready to speak your voice, get involved, take action, and make a difference? Learn how. Contact Catrice at www.awakenconsciousshift.com or www.shetalkswetalk.com. Join us next time for She Talks, We Talk Radio, the weekly wake-up call for women worldwide. Until next time, put on your big girl pants and start a courageous conversation that matters and start walking your talk.